Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Friday edition. Today's date is November 17th, 2006. Again, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. I'm coming to you live from my little farmhouse here in central France. And it's wonderful to have you here with another broadcast, because we're going to tell another truthful tale here about what's going on with our free speech rights in America and the world. Because where I live, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not, certain issues, mind you, are off the table for me to discuss publicly. I can say them to my wife, I can say them to my son or in my own home, but as soon as I step outside my front door, if I were to bring up certain subjects here in France and other parts of Europe, I can literally be arrested and jailed and fined, and all kinds of horrible things could begin to happen to me. Now, that subject, the one that they really are worried about the most, is, of course, the Holocaust. Now, many people have chided me for not bringing up evidence about the Holocaust, and I, to this day, have steered clear of researching the subject because I don't want to get involved in the minutiae of that argument. Rather, what I would like to do today is discuss with my guest, Ted Pike, how the rest of the world lost its free speech rights and how America is being set up to lose theirs as we speak. And there is new legislation. It's been tried before. They're going to try it again. And we need to get people on board with fighting for these rights, because it's going to attack the Internet's free speech. It's going to attack our free speech in the streets and anywhere we try to get traction on the facts, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to bring up my guest. His name is Ted Pike. He's been with me many times before, and I'm honored to have him here again with me today. Ted, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Daryl.
Well, you know, Ted, I'm back off of an illness here, and I tell you something, the miracle of modern medicine and antibiotics, I got to tell you, I feel like a new man. you don't know what that's like. Well, maybe you do, but wow, the last two or three days I've just returned to my old self, and I feel great. So we're going to go after an issue that is close to everybody who's interested in the truth, and that is their ability to tell the truth, Ted. Why is it so under threat right now, and what's going on with that?
Well, let me just comment on your illness and your recovery, Daryl. The reason that you are able to recover so dramatically from this illness is because for at least the last 2,500 years in Western civilization, largely because of the Greeks and their researches with the great philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and so on, they set a new precedent, a new standard of inquiry, saying that we don't have to believe in superstition and demons and elves and jinns and all kinds of supernatural skullduggery as the reasons why we get sick or why there's a thunderstorm or why our crops fail. Instead, we can look at nature in a dispassionate, open-minded, pragmatic way, and we can come to certain conclusions about reality at large, all kinds of reality. And as a result of that open-mindedness and that innovation and that tolerance, the Greeks, beginning with Hippocrates and the great scientists and philosophers, began to develop the beginnings of the scientific method, which led from an observation of data, empirically deduced, leading to certain conclusions and laws about nature.
Yep.
This is coming under attack today. Today, the International Jewish Religious Educational and Fraternal Organization, B'nai B'rith International, is going around the world, literally in the Western Hemisphere, Western nations, creating these so-called anti-hate laws, which are really speech crime or thought crimes laws. And they're saying, oh, no, we have to depart from our Greek traditions, our Old Testament, New Testament enlightenment. We have to say that there are certain topics which are so sensitive, so politically incorrect, that it's taboo now. We should walk around these subjects on eggshells and look over our shoulders, lest we be guilty of bias or hate against a certain point of view or sexual practice or religious perspective or whatever.
That's right.
And this is the blight of ADL hate laws, which are spreading like a cancer around the world. The ADL B'nai B'rith people have set up a Department of Global Anti-Semitism in our U.S. State Department. They have about 14 criteria of so-called anti-Semitism, which makes criticism of Israel's leaders, Israel's policies, 9/11, even criticism of the Pharisees in the New Testament for crucifying Christ. It makes all that into anti-Semitism, which is now a hate crime, punishable by harsh fines and imprisonment in some countries like Canada.
Or like where I'm living, Ted.
You bet. And they've done it in France. They've done it in England, Belgium, Holland, on and on and on. In fact, they're setting up a 55-member nation hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe right now, called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. And all these nations are subscribing to these twisted definition of hate, that hate equals bias against certain federally protected groups and bias against certain acknowledged points of view in history, like the supposed 6 million figure of the Holocaust. David Irving is now languishing in an Austrian jail because he has contradicted this Zionist reality of the unapproachable, unquestionable figure of the 6 million figure.
Well, you know, but interesting, I just watched a short YouTube video of Father O'Connor speaking directly about Zionism's, but the religion that they follow, the Talmud, being one of the most racist and homophobic and maladjusted document in the history of humanity, and see, they're the most racist of the groups, and yet they're pointing the finger everywhere else.
Well, that's right. And just as your sickness this last week could not have been probably corrected without antibiotics and medications derived from this spirit of free inquiry, which we've enjoyed over the last 2,500 years, so also the mind, and versions of history and versions of conceptions of religion have a tendency to go astray. They have a tendency to get all out of touch with reality. And the medicine for that, the therapy of that, is free inquiry.
That's right.
Now, let's just take the Holocaust. I am not an expert on the Holocaust, but I'm going to defend to my death the right of anyone who wants to make their own investigations, as long as they are not hurtful, as long as they are not physically threatening to other people. They have a right. They have a right to look at the aerial photographs of World War II. They have a right to make chemical analysis of the contents of...
Have you heard about Gerd Rudolph being jailed for taking samples of the interior of the Auschwitz gas chamber? And when he published his findings, they actually sent out a warrant, and America gave him up to the German authorities after he was already married to an American citizen.
Yeah, now what I'm talking about here is a new medievalism.
Yes.
This is the same spirit of the popes who told Galileo, who put Galileo in prison on the rack, I believe, even perhaps because he contradicted the cosmogony of that time. He said that the Earth was not the center of the universe, and we were actually going around the sun and things like that. Those were astronomically incorrect in his day, and he is in the same position as you and I are, David Irving, Ernst Zundel, Germar Rudolph, and other people who are doing nothing more than wanting to exercise their God-given inquiry and curiosity about certain taboo topics.
Well, you know, Ted, bringing up Galileo, both of us received an email from a gentleman who swears that the Earth is flat. And he says, we're lying to the world by not telling them that the Earth is flat. And you said, when I brought that up to you, you laughed. And you said, as wacky as that is, you would defend to the death his right to say that.
Absolutely.
And I agree with that 1,000%.
Absolutely. What we can't play favorites here, because what evil people want to do is they want to get into position, especially in positions of control in governments where they can make the crucial decisions, mm-hmm. the definitions that guide, which are kind of the rudder that guides the great ship of society. And unfortunately, the ADL has known the extreme power of being able to create a twisted definition of hate and hate crimes. And back in 1990, they got control through the Hate Crime Statistic Act of 1990, which was their legislative baby. They got control of all definitions of hate crimes, statistics gathering, a creation of techniques for reporting hate crimes, all the way from the federal government, the FBI, the Justice Decision, the Department, right down to the local police precincts in our communities. They're in complete control of that, and the reason they have so much power is that they are now in a position to define and determine for the American people what is hate and what is love. Now, those are just about as big of issues as you could imagine.
Yep.
And if we are now subservient to the ADL's definition, everything is going to be cockeyed because they are saying that hate equals bias against federally protected groups such as homosexuals, Jews, Chicanos, blacks, women's, and so on. And they also say that love is tolerance toward homosexuality, tolerance of transvestites, and tolerance of even in some countries of child molesters and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got a rudder of society which is being steered by ADL B'nai B'rith, the great ship of civilization, you see, is going to founder on the rocks.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at this most recent attempt here. We've seen this come and go, and this most recent attempt that they're going to stop mounting now, and you've just put out an alert on, is the third or fourth time they've tried it. And the last time they tried it, they really took one on the chin. Now, there were other circumstances at that point, and I'm wondering if they believe that they are in a better position to pass it this time or not.
Absolutely. This is a dream situation for them now. You see, the ADL introduced their first hate bill back in 1998, and it was defeated in conference at that time. They got the Republican leadership of the House to give orders to all Republicans to vote for the hate bill, but some spirited Republicans bucked them. There was a rebellion there among the House leadership, and it was stripped in conference. It was also stripped in conference in 2000, and then again, I believe, in 2002, 2004, 2005.
So what is their strategy? Just to keep shoving it down our throat till it passes?
That's right. Now, you see, the ADL has this bill completely worked out. It's called the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act. Sometimes the titles vary, and of course the bill numbers vary every session of Congress. But people can go to my website, which is truthtellers.org, and they go scroll back about 20 articles, and I have a big article there with the entire text of the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act. Plus, in red text underneath, I have my commentary all through that entire bill. It'll make your hair stand on end what they are trying to do. They're trying to completely take over, create a police state by taking over states' rights in law enforcement, not just for hate crimes or violent hate crimes. They're wanting to take over jurisdiction of felonies in the state and jurisdiction over all forms of interstate commerce and all kinds of things. This is a massive unification of law enforcement between the federal government and the state government, so that the local attorney generals, the local justice department, will have to stand back anytime the ADL thought police want to invade states' rights, take over hate crimes enforcement, take over the outcome even of a jury trial in a state. This bill, if it's passed, will give the ADL hate crimes people in Washington the right to reverse and overthrow and cancel a legal court trial on a hate crimes issue in the states if the ADL doesn't agree with it.
And this, holy mo! The ADL is a non-governmental organization. How are they given such power?
The ADL is a religious organization. B'nai B'rith is a religious, international, educational and
But can't that be challenged on the separation of church and state?
Oh, yeah. This is a big one. You know, the ADL piously gets up on its like Abe Foxman, head of the ADL, gets up on his soapbox and lectures the new right that they should not mix religion and politics. And here's the ADL literally running the hate crimes agenda, statistics gathering, definitions, all of that for the federal government. Their videos, their literature are memorized by every policeman in every hamlet in America.
Oh boy. Well, so what did you do last time to mount a resistance, and how are we going to go about this again?
Yeah.
I wanted you to propose what your solution was in the beginning and at the end of this conversation.
Okay, here's what we have to do, folks, to defeat this bill. Now, the Democrats have total control of the House, total control of the Senate. Anytime they want to, they can walk right in the front door with this bill. They don't have to even put it on as a rider anymore on the traditional arms bill. They can walk right in. The Democrats will vote as a block. They always vote for the hate bill. So this is a very dark, very ominous time in American history in which we will be going the way of European countries, Canada, Australia, and so on, right into the arms of this evil Zionist Jewish conspiracy,
yep.
Orwellian Big Brother government, which is coming down. Now, what we can do right now is we can take action today. We don't have to wait 6 weeks until Congress is reconvened in January. The time to attack is right now. Now, at truthtellers.org, I have the list, not just of 100 members of the Senate. I have the list also there of the 430 members of the House of Representatives. Now, last fall and in previous skirmishes on this issue, what I've done is I've gotten on talk radio and I've instructed zealous patriots of the far right to make use of a toll-free number to call very specifically, call a Senate Judiciary Committee or call all the members of the Senate and so on. I'm going to ask you to do that again because it has worked. It's dynamite. If enough people start blitzing the Senate and the House over this issue, there is an excellent chance in January that the ADL is going to say, well, we may have the votes in Congress, but this thing could backfire on us. If Ted Pike and Daryl Smith and other people are on the rampage against this, this could spread over to the new right, and we could have big troubles in a huge national backlash as Ted Pike and Daryl Smith and other people are identifying the architects of this legislation as Jewish. They may count the cost. Now, a couple of years ago, the ADL went berserk after we defeated their hate bill in conference between the House and the Senate. That was in October of 2004.
Yeah.
And what happened was they lost their perspective. They gave instructions to Lynn Abraham, who is the Jewish one of the national executive board members of ADL. They gave instructions to her to arrest 11 Christians who are doing nothing more than peacefully witnessing and singing hymns in a big gay pride rally in Philadelphia. They threatened these Christians with 47 years, actually there were seven charges, 47 years in prison and $90,000 fines each for the hate crime, largely for the hate crime of preaching the gospel to homosexuals. Now, I was on a lot of talk radio at that time, and Michael Markovich of the Philly 11, as we dubbed them, and I got on many talk shows, and others sounded the word, his lawyers, and even the new right got on board, and we were able to blow that issue clear around the world through the winds of the internet, and we leaped over the total media blackout of that, and we really gave the ADL a black eye.
Yep.
That was the biggest mistake they ever made in their, I think it's 87-year history.
And well, you know, but see, here's the interesting thing, Ted. Well, the error that they made, the memory of that, I was around then. This is when I started becoming very angry about what I was seeing.
Uh-huh.
And one of the first interviews I did was with you, and it was just after this whole thing broke.
It was.
And yeah, and I gotta tell you, that is still fresh in many people's minds,
yes.
But what we need to do is recouch this as something that is imminent, because I'll tell you something, where I sit right now, there is a gentleman, a professor from a university not far from here in Lyon, who has four times been brought to court. The last time they took 8,000 euros from him, gave him a 3-month suspended sentence. His name is Robert Ferrison.
Yes, I know.
And now, Dr. Ferrison, he's been beaten by these people almost to death. They stopped him on a road and punched him so many times that he was in a coma. And they broke his jaw. They very, very nearly killed him. And the head of the ADL branch of France said he deserved it, and he said that. Now, that's hateful.
Yes.
That in itself, him saying that was hateful. And he said this right after in a press conference.
Yes, it's incredible. Well, we're going to see this kind of muscle and Gestapo tactics coming down.
Yep.
Very soon, if we get a federal anti-hate bill passed. Now here's an important point that I want to make. Now, after we gave so much bad publicity to ADL and to Lynn Abraham, the ADL realized that they had jumped the gun. They had not thought this out. They were acting rashly in what they did. And that following winter, when Congress reconvened, they did reintroduce their hate bill, which, as I mentioned, was defeated a few months earlier, but they did it very quietly. They brought it in on January 6th, when nobody was expecting it. Usually they're a little later in the spring. They brought it in. They gave absolutely no publicity. Gordon Smith and Teddy Kennedy, none of their usual lackeys, stood up and made a big deal, you know, weeping crocodile tears for Matt Shepard and all that kind of nonsense. They were trying to slip it in very quietly because they were afraid that I'd hear about it primarily and make a big fuss about it, and then they'd get it defeated again. And what that tells me, folks, is that the ADL is very sensitive to public outrage. Now, let me give you another anecdote. A few years earlier, I had done a lot of saturating Congress with brochures against this and so on, as well as thousands of my video hate laws making criminals of Christians were disseminated throughout the United States and the world. And in fact, if you'd like to get a quick education on this, folks, go to Google. Go to Google today, google.com, and you can watch the 80-minute production of hate laws making criminals of Christians. Anyway, the ADL was brought into disarray by this. We showed that they are human, they are cautious, and you know, even if you hit a fly, a fly is about the most audacious and persistent pest in creation, but if you hit him a few times, you don't have to kill him, you hit him, he'll learn to stay away from your face. He'll learn to a certain degree, and that's what we have to remember about the ADL. If we can send an avalanche of calls, especially calls, telephone calls, which reach a live warm body there in these senators and members of Congress's office, if we can send a blitz of calls now to Congress using a toll-free number, we can in the 7 weeks now before the ADL is able to introduce this bill, we can let Capitol Hill know that the American people will not stand for having their free speech rights taken away from them and moved into a hate crimes bureaucracy such as has ended free speech in Canada and Europe. Now, what I want people to do, here's my instructions. We've got to go on the attack. It'll be fatal. It'll be fatal if we sit around till the first week of January to see if the ADL will really introduce this. Let me tell you, this is the top of their wish list. This is their dream. They've been working since 1998 to get this done. Now they have Democratic control of Congress. They are going to rush in there. They're going to move it through and without the help of Almighty God, we are not going to be able to stop it. We've got to attack right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going back in history, Alexander the Great, back in the 4th century B.C., he had this crazy idea that he was ordained by the gods to take over the world. And he only had a few thousand men. He went off into Asia. And here were millions in the armies of Darius, I believe, who were coming against him. Back in Asia Minor, it was the forget the river, but anyway, what Alexander did that was so brilliant was, with his tiny armies, he went on the offensive. He attacked them immediately as soon as he saw them. And these Persians, millions of Persians, had never seen such audacity before. The forces of the Macedonians got right in there, blasted right into this huge army. The Persians were so astonished that they began to run and panic and trample each other. And that's how Alexander the Great won these wars. He didn't wait around till everything was all orderly and the battle could begin the next morning. All that kind of nonsense. That's what we have to do right now. We have to call in today. Now, people, come to truthtellers.org. www.truthtellers.org. I've got the entire list of the U.S. Senate and U.S. House of Representatives there, right on the front page. It includes all of the elected members of Congress. It does not include those who lost their races. It's the brand new list of about 530 members. Now, we're going to have to do a job not only on the Senate, but on the House, because both of them are under the control of the liberal ADL type of hate bill supporters. Here's what you do. You dedicate the next 7 weeks of your life for only 15 minutes a day. That can be before work, it can be after your lunch break, or whatever. Write it on your calendar. Every day you're going to devote 15 minutes to make 15 one-minute calls to Congress. Now, that's not as hard as it seems, because with only one call with the toll-free number I'll give you, you can get the Capitol operator, and you can have your list there, the 15 names for the day. Start at the first senator, so-and-so, and the Capitol operator will send you to that senator, and I want you to deliver this simple message there. It's very simple. It says, please don't vote for so-called anti-hate legislation. Please don't vote for so-called anti-hate legislation. Hate laws have ended free speech in Canada and many European countries. I'll repeat that statement again. Please don't vote for so-called anti-hate legislation. Hate laws have ended free speech in Canada and many European countries. Now, once you've delivered that message, you don't need to argue with the people there. You just say, would you please send me back to the Capitol operator, or send me to the next senator, and they'll either send you back to the Capitol operator or to the next senator, but you'll be on the line, and it'll take you about 1 minute to deliver that statement, and then boom, you'll be at another senator, give that statement, read the statement, then leapfrog to all 15 senators, and in just about 15 minutes, you will have done your 15 minutes for the day. 15
yeah.
calls for the day. Now, in the process of 7 weeks, which will end after the first week of January, you will have delivered a powerful message to all 530 members of Congress. Now, if we can get thousands of people in the next 7 weeks to make those calls, come to Truth Tellers, print out the 530 names, or get it off my website, we can get people, thousands of people, to do exactly the same thing they did last time. We can put a chill, not on free speech, we can put a chill on the zeal for the hate bill in the Congress of the United States.
Well, I believe, Ted, and I got to be honest with you, I believe this truly, the country is awakening to the fact that Zionism and its proponents are murdering our freedoms.
Yes.
And I believe the nation has been shaken from its slumber.
Yes.
And I believe it's because of the efforts of many people like myself and you and Eric and Christopher Bolin and so many others. But the fact rests that tens of millions of people are now aware, as they weren't before. They are now aware what the real time is, and I'll tell you, it's a very late hour. And you know, it's interesting, because I was listening to some other talk show hosts who talk around the issues. They talk about the Luciferians and this and that.
Yeah.
But when it comes right down to it, if you check behind the curtain, it's somebody in direct support of Israel, or they're Jewish. And that is the case in every instance, not sometimes, every time, Ted.
See, that's exactly why the ADL is so weak right now. I have my four major video documentaries on Google now, and one way of getting kind of the pulse of the American people is to see what kind of approval ratings are recorded there for my videos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 75% of the people who watch my other Israel video approve of it. 90% of people who watch my Yiddish Bleeds video approve of it, and 100% of my latest one I put up, which is Unholy Alliance, approve of it. We're approaching 50,000 people now who have watched those videos at Google, and of course my Hate Laws video is up there at Google. People are watching that too, but it's especially important this week that people get educated, go to Google, especially watch the Hate Laws video, learn all about the ADL. I conclusively prove that ADL B'nai B'rith is behind hate crimes laws all over the world. And now here's the power we have over them. Here's our position of advantage. You see, if we create an identification between Jewish evil leadership and hate crimes laws, freedom stealing hate crimes laws around the world, well, pretty soon, the inhabitants of the world, the people of America, are going to be pretty disgusted with this absolutely vile attempt to take away our precious freedoms.
That's right.
And that's going to rub off on the Jewish community. The Jewish community is going to say, hey, we don't want to be tarred with the brush that ADL is being tarred with. You know, people are going to say very quickly, you know, it's not just ADL. It's not just the Jewish leaders. It's the Jews in themselves. You know, that sounds anti-Semitic. We don't want that. And I make it very clear that I'm not tarring the entirety of the Jewish people, but I am saying that evil Jewish activism, organized world Jewry coming down from ADL and their 500,000 Jewish members are working in more than 55 nations of the world to take away our precious freedom of speech. Now, if this gets widely known widely enough, pretty soon the leaders of Orthodox Judaism and Conservative and Reform Judaism are coming to ADL and it's going to say, hey, you're going to back off. You've got to back off. You're going ahead too fast here. This is, the people can't take this. You know, it's kind of like pouring water into a jar that doesn't have a wide enough opening. It's going to start spilling out and making a big mess.
Well, you know, but Ted, I got to tell you something unique and something new that's happening. The Europeans are starting to complain that their right has been usurped.
Yes.
And there are movements across Europe, especially in Germany, that are starting at the ground, you know, at the grassroots level, saying, what in the heck has happened to us? The British are screaming. I mean, a lot of my listeners are British.
Yeah.
And the Australians are starting to say, what in the heck has happened? And,
yeah,
of course, you know, Canada has, there have been tens of thousands of people very aware that they lost their free speech rights some time ago. So my point is that there's actually a backlash in the countries who've already succumbed to these criminal, usurpations.
Yeah, and tragically, a lot of that backlash is vented against the Jewish people at large. And one of my premises as a Christian missionary to the Jews or an evangelist to the Jewish people is to tell them that I do not seek to encourage anti-Semitism against
right.
the Jewish people.
I believe Nor do I.
Has an unfinished destiny for the Jewish people at the second coming of Christ. So my motives toward the Jewish people are benevolent, and that is one of the reasons why I'm against ADL, because ADL creates all this bad press for the Jewish people, and the Jewish shopkeeper, the Jewish neighborhood, your neighbor, your Jewish teacher, whatever, they take the flack as being the source of all of this anti-Christianity or anti-freedom sentiment, which is actually being foisted on the world by the ADL. So really what I'm doing, what you're doing, is we are protecting, long-term, we are protecting the Jewish people from a lot of real hatred and venomous, vulgar anti-Semitism, which could result if ADL B'nai B'rith are allowed to continue unresisted in their anti-Christ, anti-freedom agenda.
Well, I see a pogrom developing. I do.
Uh-huh.
And it's of their own making, this ADL group. And interestingly enough, I've said it so many times, as you just stated it, that, you know, the Jewish community is the group that's been lied to the most.
Exactly.
And it, of course, they get the direct nonsense from their direct mailings and from the people in their own synagogues that they have to be supportive of Israel and Israel's right to usurp the lands of the Palestinians and all these other lies.
Uh-huh.
And they're forced by edict to acquiesce to these criminal musings of their leadership. Now, I'm saying to you that if we cannot defeat them in this hate crimes bill, you know, all bets are off after this, Ted, because I'm telling you, the country as it stands right now cannot continue in its present form. The American nation, the United States of America, is virtually dead right now. And it's financially dead, and it is morally dead, and it is now quickly becoming a death case when it comes to its rights and its privileges. And the simple truth is, unless we do something very dramatic, we're done for.
Yeah.
We're toast.
Well, what I want to do in a word right now is I want to cause the ADL to lose their nerve. I want them to take a hard look at whether they want to create a firestorm of specific public identification of them worldwide as the creators, the architects of freedom-stealing hate laws. And the time to do this is not after their bill gets into the pipeline, into the machinery of the legislative process.
That's right.
Too late. The time to take action is right now. And I want everybody listening to this program to come to truthtellers.org. Again, I have the entire new U.S. Congress there online, right on the front page. And here's the toll-free number. Let me give you this toll-free number. It's worked. I've called it a couple of times already. It's 877-851-3121. Again, that toll-free number to Congress is 877-851-3121. Now, there's more than 50 new members of Congress who are moving to Washington, D.C. and so on, and they cannot be reached at this number. That they will be able to be reached after the new Congress convenes in January. But what I'd like people to do is, and I'll have those names with an asterisk at
and maybe they can contact them at their election headquarters.
Well, most of them's election headquarters are pretty much abandoned and now defunct. They're moving back there and buying houses and getting established in Washington. But these 55 or so new members of Congress, they can be called at the very last of this 7-week calling program, which I'd like people to get onto. So you can just pick them off in the last week when they you'll be able to reach them through the congressional hotline. Main thing is to call all of the incumbents there, reelected or incumbent members of Congress, and call them, leapfrog, do your 15 calls every day religiously for the next 7 weeks, and you'll call every member of the United States Congress.
Well, you know, I agree with it 100%. And I mean, recently I made a call to Pelosi's office and I said that her support of Israel is an act of treason and that she should be held liable and accountable for it at a time of war. And I said that she should be arrested immediately for that support.
Yeah.
Now, that's and I gave my name and everything. I'm not afraid of these people one bit.
Uh-huh.
The simple truth is, Ted, that the things that are going on in America right now are the last gasps of a great nation. And you know, I don't. Eric and I talked recently about how desperate our times are. And the interesting thing is that the majority of the people around the listeners right now, their families, their coworkers, they're not taking any action. They're very content to sit in front of a television set to lose these rights and that they once enjoyed. And the fact is, we're never going to be a plural group of fighters here. It's always going to be a core group of patriotic, caring human beings who don't want to see the death nails be finally pounded into the American experiment.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, as a 200-year-old country, we're an experiment.
Yes, we are.
And the fact is, this experiment is going terribly wrong right now. And you know, I'm sitting here over in France, and a lot of people have complained, oh, what are you doing in France? Well, what's happening here is we're becoming a homogenized a world without any rights. Now, the American experience is turning into the European experience, which lost its individual rights many decades ago.
That's right. Well, you know, speaking of the founding fathers and mothers, they were only a small percentage, 1 or 2% of the colonists on the East Coast, and yet they were able to purchase our freedom by paying a tremendous price. They lost their farms, they lost their livelihoods, some of them lost their health and even their lives in order to give to us the great, the inestimable gift of freedom of speech. Now, my question to our listeners today is, are you willing to give 15 minutes of the day for the work week for the next 7 weeks just to make these 1 minute calls to your members of the House and the Senate? That seems like such a small price to pay. And yet, if we all do it together, as we have shown, we can impact Congress very, very, very powerfully. I should also mention that it was also a very dark day a year ago, October, when the Senate Judiciary Committee was outweighed in favor of the hate bill supporters. It was 10 to 8 in favor of the hate bill. I didn't see how anything could possibly deliver us with odds like that in the Senate Judiciary Committee. So I got on your program, I got on many other programs, and I told people, come to Truth Tellers. I'm going to have the 18 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I'm going to have their phone numbers there. You blitzkrieg, you call them. They call for 2 weeks. And then after that 2 weeks of saturating the judiciary members with protests against the hate bill, then I said, well, call all 100 members of the Senate. And for another week or two, all 100 members. And by that time, you see, Kennedy gave up and we had won. We had defeated it again. And what's nice is that if we can make a fuss here on far-right talk radio, that the truth, the reality is going to filter over to the really big numbers of the evangelical right and so on. And before long, we'll have Dobson and we'll have Concerned Women for America and other people picking up on this. And so, but now is the time to act. The evangelicals have a strong tendency to not be focused and to wait till the bill is introduced and always to react. But as I was mentioning earlier, military geniuses like Alexander the Great, they knew the time that you had to be proactive. You had to take the element of surprise, initiative away from the enemy.
Well, I believe also, Ted, to instructing new people about this problem, about this sickness that they're trying to foist on us, is also teaching them about how desperate we are in so many other areas as well.
Absolutely.
And it's an educational inlet to the facts.
Right.
I mean, once you understand that the Zionist Jews in the country are trying to kill our freedoms, if this is your introduction to what we're losing, you're going to be shocked about what other things we're losing.
Well, that's right. You see, the hate bill issue is a transition issue. I realized when I began to study this decades ago that it was a way of warning the evangelicals that their basic freedoms to evangelize could be and are being taken away by ADL B'nai B'rith. But the kind of the nice thing about the hate crimes issue is that it leads to a broader understanding of the whole problem of evil Jewish activism.
That's
because
right.
of coming down from ADL B'nai B'rith internationally, which impinges upon Christian rights and Christian symbols and observances, all these kind of things in a much broader way. And then it also leads to the subject of Israel and the abuses of Israel in the Middle East and the counterfeit nature of the modern state of Israel in God's plan of the ages and so on. So the hate crimes issue is a godsend because it provides a link between the slumbering, naive evangelicals who are Israel firsters and the true realities about this Antichrist system, which is really seeking to destroy them.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing about the Holocaust, one of the questions that needs to be asked about asking questions about that subject, why, if you were not afraid of what people would find, why would you be afraid of anybody looking into anything?
That's right. The truth has a way of being self-evident, bringing light and fresh air to to reality and discussions. And unless you are actually afraid of reality or afraid of the truth, you will not mount this propaganda program protesting investigations into the facts and events of World War II.
That's right. And you know, I'm also starting to wonder, too. I mean, some of the things on my website, basically, they deal with the day-to-day process that these people have underway to remove everyone's freedom in the Western world, and if not the globe. And, you know, so much of it gets translated into financial, or it gets translated into geopolitical or whatever. But when you pull the veneer off, it's Zionist Judaism doing all of it, every bit of it. And I can't imagine that we're not waking up the entire mass of humanity against this sickness.
Well, that would be very self-evident. Certainly people who come to your website, to my website, read the articles and so on, it's very easy to connect the dots. And basically the dots create a hexagram, a Star of David, behind this whole problem of, going back to communism, going back to masonry, back to all forms of 20th century liberalism. They all come out of this socialist ferment of Jewish liberal activism. And the outside manifestations of this change with every generation, at one time it was Soviet communism, and now it has become neoconservatism, there is always this Talmudic desire to overcome Gentile power in the world, and communism, anti-Christianity, these are all manifestations of this world revolutionary Zionist cabalistic thrust to basically, in my opinion, to establish an antichrist system in place of the Christian system and the true Messiah of the Jews, which they rejected 2,000 years ago.
Well, didn't they already implement in written forms elements of the Noahide laws for the Gentiles?
Well, the Noahide laws are a very sinister aspect of the Talmud. You see, the Talmud, I should just mention...
And this is a racist thing you're going to tell everybody right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the Babylonian Talmud is the Pharisees' anti-Bible. It's the oral tradition of the scribes and Pharisees, which Jesus so bitterly denounced. He said that it had turned upside down the law of God. And this was all written down finally in its massive state. I think there's something like 24 volumes. I have it, of course, and... it was written down in Babylon during the 1600-year period in which the Jews were in exile in Babylon, I should say in the last 1,000 years of that period. The Talmud is full of this ambition to throw off Gentile control. It's a thoroughly racistic, anti-Christian document. In fact, at truthtellers.org, I've done some pretty hard-hitting articles about the Talmud and its perverted teachings. And also the Kabbalah or Zohar and its revolutionary desire to take over the world and its extreme racism against Gentiles, calling them animals.
Now the Noahides, how do they apply? Because George Bush Sr. back in the early 90s signed a document that gave over certain elements of our legal system to Noahides.
Yeah, that's just where I was coming right now.
Yeah.
The Talmud teaches. The Zohar and Talmud teaches that the Jews are a specially unique and superior race in the world. The Kabbalah or the Zohar is very specific that the Jews are the only truly human beings on this planet. The Gentiles are animals and beasts and so on. They're semi-demonic. They're down with the status, the underground levels of the cosmology of the universe, down with the demons. And so deep within the mentality of the Talmud and the Zohar is this idea that only Jews are really spiritual or capable of really being spiritual. They are the Shekinah of God in this world. And the Goyim or the animal Gentiles are way, way down there. However, if the Goyim will denounce Jesus Christ and will stop worshiping idols like Jesus Christ is an idol, then... and observe what are called the Noahide laws, which are various precepts of Judaism, you know, not eating meat with the blood in it and serving the Sabbath and things like that. But if they will, especially if they will give up Christianity and denounce Jesus Christ, then these Goyim beasts and these animals will be allowed to live in the new messianic New World Order that the Jews are bringing into the world. However, if the Goyim will continue to be idolatrous, then, as in the Old Testament, the Jews have the right, like Joshua and Caleb and so on, to go in there and clean out the Goyim and kill the Goyim throughout the world. Now, in my recently added video to Google, which is called Unholy Alliance, I go into the text of a most remarkable book written back in the 1930s by a certain PhD, a Jewish PhD, Dr. Michael Higger. And this book has been thoroughly endorsed by the founder of conservative Judaism in America, Solomon Schechter. It's also endorsed by the Council or Kala of Texas Rabbis. And in this book, it spills it all out. It says very clearly that all Christians, all idolatrous Christians who do not believe in the one true God, but rather in a Trinity, will be slaughtered when the Jewish New World Messianic Age comes and the Jews finally are able to subdue and conquer.
Now, how do they square the circle on that not being a racist doctrine?
Yeah, well, that's...
And how is this one going to play out when their new laws come in? Can we say the Jews are racist? I mean, are they going to get this turned, the tables turned on them?
Well, yeah, see, what they did back in the period of George Bush Sr. was... Rabbi Schneerson, who was the temporary Messiah, the temporary reigning Messiah for the Kabbalistic Hasidic or Eastern Europe Ashkenazi Jews, he had his world headquarters in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. And Rabbi Schneerson, these Lubavitcher Jews,
mm-hmm.
very powerful, very wealthy, very substantial in upholding the Likud government and the Orthodox position in Israel and persecution of the Palestinians, especially on the West Bank and so on. Anyway, Rabbi Schneerson got through his members of the Bush Sr. administration, he persuaded Congress and the president to adopt what is called, I think it's Education Day USA, and basically they endorsed the seven precepts of the Noahide laws, which include death to idolaters. This was kind of the equivalent in the Bush administration to the National Day of Prayer, which my father and my brother and I and our family were so instrumental in helping revive back in the early days of the Reagan administration. This was a national proclamation of National Education Day endorsing and basically upholding the integrity of the Noahide laws out of the Talmud. Now here in a word is where they're heading. They are wanting to establish Noahide laws internationally in human rights and the legal tribunals in the world as equal to Anglo-Saxon law, as equal to Roman law, as equal to maritime law, equal to all kinds of laws that are governing society. They are wanting the Noahide laws to be up there, sanctioned by governments and international bodies, so that when they want to enforce their laws against idolatry, just as they're enforcing laws against Holocaust questioning or Holocaust denials against David Irving, Zundel, Germar Rudolph, and so on, they can deport Christians from America who refuse to give up Jesus Christ. They can deport them to Israel. They can deport them there to fulfill Christ's words that they'll be condemned in the synagogues in Israel and put to death and put in chains in Israeli prisons. That's what they want to do. And, you know, I'm astonished. I'm absolutely astonished that the Mossad can give directions to our government, and they'll go down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and they'll pick up Ernst Zundel living peacefully there. They'll deport him back to solitary confinement, calling him a domestic terrorist, putting him in prison now in Germany. They'll do the same thing in Chicago in the airport with Germar Rudolph just to please these Lubavitcher Jews and ADL people. Well, this is just a portent of what is coming. Soon it won't be the Holocaust deniers who will be deported to Israel. It will be the evangelical Christians.
Well, you know, I for one, over my dead body, period, End of story. And I tell you something, the tens of thousands of people who listen to this programming over their dead body as well.
Yes.
I know these people that follow us will not roll over for this stuff. We're not the sheeple that go home and watch 6 hours of television. And I'm telling you, we're a growing group. We are a force, a measure. And I'm going to say this to everybody out there listening. This is the time for us to strike. Our time is now. We are at a point where the disgust for these people has risen, the stink of these people has risen to a point where none of us are willing to take it anymore.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, the South Africans are listening. The Africans are listening. The Russians, you don't have any idea, Ted. When I look up my website on Google, I find that I'm being listened to in almost every land in the world,
yes,
in every language. And the fact of the matter is this is exploding across the world. They have messed with the wrong people, and finally, they are going to get their what they deserve, because I'm telling you something. If they pull off this hate crime stuff, it is going to explode in their faces. I'm sure of it. I'm positive of it. It's going to be like what happened to them when they pulled this recent Lebanese assault. They lost so much ground in the world opinion,
uh-huh,
and so many new people turned to our facts that it was astonishing. And this hate crimes thing will be that times 10.
That's right. Well, I was astonished, frankly, when I wrote my latest article, which is posted at truthtellers.org. I was astonished how all the big far-right websites picked up on it, published it, and many, many thousands of people have come to Truth Tellers as a result of that.
Yep.
But if I could, let me just run through now what people can do again,
yep,
just so we get this absolutely clear. I want absolutely every person listening to this program to now make a solemn vow that for the next 7 weeks during their work week, 15 minutes a day, they will set aside to start calling 15 members of Congress every day. Now come to truthtellers.org, and there you will find right on the front page the beginnings of the list of all 530 members of the Congress. The phone number is printed there, but I'll give that phone number, the toll-free number. This whole thing for 7 weeks won't cost you a dime. It's 877-851-3121. Again, that toll-free number is 877-851-3121. Call the Capitol. The receptionist will send you to the first members of Congress and give this simple message. Please don't vote for so-called anti-hate legislation. Hate laws have ended free speech in Canada and many European countries. Please don't vote for so-called anti-hate legislation. Hate laws have ended free speech in Canada and many European countries. Now, don't hang up once you've delivered that message. Ask to be transferred to the next member of Congress on that list, or they'll send you back to the Capitol operator, and you leapfrog until you have called for 15 minutes, which will be about 15 members of Congress. Do that for 7 weeks. And by the time the ADL is ready to introduce their hate bill in the first week or so, first or second week of Congress, every member of Congress will have heard from you a strong statement of disapproval and possibly a threat there that if they do vote for this hate bill, you're not voting for them next time around in Congress.
No, if they vote for it, they're going to be held liable as a treasonous criminal, and we're going to come for them.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, this is the best way to come for them right now. It is in the world of ideas, in the world of pressure and public opinion. Someday we may have to do what the Constitution allows us to do, which is to rise up and overthrow a corrupt government. We're not nearly ready for that yet, but right now we have proven repeatedly that people will do basically what I'm saying here. Come to Truth Tellers and make those calls religiously for the next 7 weeks. we can deliver a sledgehammer blow to the ADL even before they have introduced the hate bill. Now, if they have the nerve, if they have the audacity to introduce it in spite of such a wave of public outrage, then we have another fight on our hands. But meanwhile, we've laid down a tremendous foundation of disapproval, and then if the bill is passed in defiance of the American people, we can launch a huge operation to get to the President of the United States. And the fact is that he did veto the ADL's hate bill in Texas when he was governor of Texas. However, unfortunately, he did make a statement early in his administration that he would pass a so-called modified hate bill if it came before his desk. So George Bush is a very much of an unknown factor. We can't take any chances. We've got to.
He is a sick and twisted, bizarre homosexual sicko, and we know that from his repeated visits with male prostitutes in his private quarters of the White House. And that is not an accusation. It's part of the public record.
Oh my.
So to try to save a cretin like him and think that we're going to get any traction with him is probably not going to happen. But the, as you said, Ted, this is all about getting traction. And you know, it's an educational process when people come to these facts.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Ted Pike again for coming on. Thanks, Ted. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Daryl.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the French Connections. This is Daryl Bradford Smith back, feeling better, fighting like a banshee here. And we got lots more new interviews coming up for you, lots more information when you tune in. So please do, and keep coming to the website and supporting us. You'll find Ted Pike's information on our website. It'll bring you right over to Truth Tellers. And do what he asks, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll make a difference. Until the next time, it's Daryl Bradford Smith saying bye-bye now. Be well.